Completely Conspicuous, episode 355, December 9th, 2014. Welcome back to Completely Conspicuous. I'm your host, Jay Kumar. This week is part one of my conversation with guest Jay Breitling as we discuss our favorite music of 2014. We've also got music from Bob Mould, Dum Dum Girls, and Radiator Hospital. As always, please send any comments, questions, or royal visit souvenirs to j.kumar@gmail.com. Also, please check out Completely Conspicuous at comconcast.blogspot.com and on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at Coomdog. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Now here's Bob Mould with Hey Mr. Gray. To my conversation with Jay Breitling.
Okay.
Hello.
Movie phone.
And welcome to movie phone. To beer phone.
It's Friday in December, and
we still don't have a beer sponsor for this show.
But we're drinking, I'm drinking a little Smutty Nose Winter Ale.
I completely forgot what I'm drinking.
You're drinking Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Celebration.
Another delicious beer.
Mm-hmm.
Dweevil.
Dweevil,
Clank.
Sir. Yes, we're drinking out of these pewter mugs, but they have this disappointing lack of clank.
Yeah.
It's
not satisfying.
Yeah.
The beer is satisfying, though. But anyway, this is our annual...
the urine music.
Urine review.
Oh, the reviewing the urine.
Yeah. Best of 2014.
Special guest, my dog.
Ollie's here to possibly drop some bombs as well.
But hopefully not urinate.
Yeah. But anyways, Jay Breitling, how's it going, man?
Let's just say it's going great. You know, there's all sorts of, you know, the man's trying to keep me down. And
as usual.
I think we'll get into discussing some of our hardware difficulties, yeah. Which we strangely had in common.
I see you've got a new TV?
That is a new TV. We felt like we were going to be able to, loosen the purse strings a little bit when we got the oldest kid out of the Fancy Pants daycare, and then we bought this TV, and then after that we had to buy a new car and install a new water main. So,
oh man,
you know, the TV's not looking like the best decision right now, but it's fine. So, but
it's a long term investment.
I hope so. I've got a 3-year-old, and if you look closely, there's some smeary, scrapey things along the bottom. But
you might need to build a moat around that TV.
Yes, a moat, or just get a little tray of electric eels or something.
There you go. But anyways, yeah, it's amazing how quickly this year went by, as they all do, but here we are.
This one was fast.
It was fast. We last spoke... the mid-year, talking about our sort of the best of the first half of the year, and now we're going to kind of recap the whole thing in its totality.
The full year.
Yeah.
The full
but I guess sort of what are some of your general impressions of 2014 in terms of the music industry in general and sort of what's going on?
Industry in general, I don't know. I we were talking a little bit before we started rolling the proverbial tape. I don't know if, as an old guy, I'm a sign of any sort of larger trends, but I'm definitely sort of, from a music consumption standpoint, getting into kind of a lifestyle, if you will, where I'm post-device.
Your lifestyle is your death style.
Sure. but, you know, I really don't even use my iPod
post-device
anymore. That might be more of a reflection of, the things I have to do in my life. Like, I don't go to the gym and work out, so I don't have that time to listen to my iPod.
Yeah.
But I do sit at a desk and do work all the time. And so, there's a browser there, and I listen on the computer. Yeah.
I guess there's a reason that Apple phased out the iPod, right? I mean, they're not making them anymore. So
they're not making any? Oh, because they're all iPhones.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think you can still get the iPod, the classic.
Yeah.
You can still get them, but they're not going to be selling them for much longer. They announced that they're phasing
them. Yeah, I remember that. Well, and, you know, the Beats acquisition, which made billionaires out of Dr. Dre as well as Jimmy Iovine.
Dr. Dre can go another 20 years without making an album.
That's right, and buying all the dope. that acquisition was supposed to be about...
the music service.
Yeah, and about a type of music service, you know, the a la carte download and album download model might be going by the wayside too.
Didn't they shut down the music service already, though, I thought?
The Beats service?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they're folding it into iTunes Radio, I fiddled with a little bit early in the year and just didn't make much sense to me, but I'm just a caveman at this point. But
the only time I've really used iTunes, other than as a player for my own MP3s, is occasionally they'll have they'll do new album previews.
Yeah.
And streaming. The new Pornographer's album. I'd listen to that before it came out.
Also, subscribing to podcasts through iTunes.
I've been.
That might be the most useful thing it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a player, and I make playlists.
Yeah.
Which you can do. Actually, for a while there, I was, my computer died in August, and my laptop at home, and I was sort of looking at iTunes alternatives just to sort of see what was out there. And there's a lot of stuff.
Like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I was trying out this thing called Media Monkey. I think that's what it was called, and it was great, and the only reason I stopped using it is because I somehow kept sort of like replicating like my music library over and over and over again. Yeah. And it eventually blew up my hard drive.
Jesus.
Because it was probably a 40 gig hard drive because this was that long ago.
Music virus.
Yeah, and it just did something where, you know, say I had 20 gigs of music. For some reason, it started, like, transcoding everything or something, and then suddenly, you know, my hard drive was full, and then the computer just went, you know, kablooey, which is too bad because that was actually a pretty new computer. There was a year where I just had a computer for, like, 1 year, and then it, you know, that went sucks. By the wayside.
Jesus. Well, I mean, I know what whenever I've had to sort of copy over music to, like, from one computer to another, sometimes in iTunes, like, it'll double up songs. So I have
because
a bunch
of... Because it converts your WMAs.
Yeah. So I have, like, a bunch... There's a bunch of music I have for older music that I have that's got, you know, I've got, like, two copies of everything.
Yeah.
In iTunes, which is kind of annoying. So you have to go through... clear all that shit out.
But. Yeah, a lot of the old Johnny Foreigner demos were in WMA. And every time I...
That's put, Windows Media. That's
yeah, Windows Media, Media Audio. And every time I put, you know, using iTunes, every time I would put something new in, you know, upload something or, you know, load something into iTunes, I would select the Johnny Foreigner folder to load in the new thing, and it would try to... reload those WMAs again every single time.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, I have like a bazillion copies of those WMAs. They're transcoded.
So anyways, I guess the point being, I think, you know...
Yeah, I guess it didn't have anything to do with the music industry, but...
Well, no, it does, though, because...
User experience.
I think a lot of people are in your position where, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, I'm a runner, so I know a lot of people who run with their iPhone, so they're, you know... And they're usually listening to Spotify or something like that on their iPhone. So, you know, it's definitely become, you know, an industry where, the thing that you buy now, you know, they're not selling. You know, they're not selling. Yeah. You know, nobody's really buying, you know, except for Taylor Swift fans, nobody's buying music anymore, really. They're buying devices. They're buying phones.
Yeah.
And, you know, they listen to music on their phones, but... You know, not that many people are going out and buying iPods or big stereos, you know.
It's just like Megadeth said, peace sells, but who's buying?
Exactly.
I haven't listened to that one in a
killing,
long time.
Killing is my business, and business is good. Mm-hmm. That is also actually booming. But, yeah, you know, I mean, of course, then you've got, on the other hand, with the hipsters and you know, and rock bands, vinyl has... you know, done pretty well, you know, for CDs are obviously plummeting and digital sales aren't doing well, but vinyl actually does, you know, fairly well. And they're marking the shit out of it, marking it up.
Yeah, I know. I just put a bunch of it on my, Amazon wish list because that's the only thing that, the Santas in my family seem to be able to reliably, hit. But, you know, those some of those records, you know, there are actually some good deals, you know, but the, you know, the deals were like, you know, $11, you know, and then there was some stuff that I put on there, you know, figuring, hey, it's Santa, you know, that was like $22 or something.
Yeah. I usually will only buy vinyl, like, you know, go to like, there's actually a pretty cool, like, you know, independent record store in Salem called the Record Exchange that I'll go to, you know, and they have a lot of older stuff, but like, I'll go to Newbury Comics when they have, like, a buy two, get one free kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah. They usually have a big anniversary sale. Yeah. So I go, you know, I went this year. And I think that the last time I went was the year prior to that. But I'll go and I'll buy, you know, 6 or 7 records.
Yeah.
You know, catalog stuff.
Right.
Because usually they don't have much in the way of new releases on vinyl, which is kind of disappointing. But
well, now, I've been buying vinyl from bands at shows.
Yeah.
Because you can get it fairly cheap, and you know all the money's going to the band instead of like some shithead at a label, you know. So,
yeah, I have no intention of buying CDs, but I will at this point because you know I'm sort of post object, but I will definitely buy vinyl, and I've you know got my selected vinyl collection here behind us, and you know it's you know we talk about it it's almost trite to say it but it sounds better better than you know I got the White Laces record Trance on vinyl in a couple weeks ago And, you know, I had listened to that record a lot to review it. But, you know, listening to it on vinyl, it was like there was a whole, you know, it was like the bass was, you know, really, really present. And, you know, it just sounded great. So, you know, it makes a difference. And if I have the opportunity to stand up and, you know, well, what should I listen to now? You know, I am more than happy if I have that like leisure time.
Right.
You know, I'm more than happy to put on a record. I know you've got
tons of time to do
just,
that.
Just sitting around doing
nothing. You know, I had a ton of vinyl from the '80s.
The day,
basically, just from the '80s. That was kind of like, you know, that was when I was buying records, and then, you know, in late '80s is when I got a CD player and I started buying CDs, but. And they started phasing out vinyl, really, but I still have, you know, a couple hundred records, and then you know, I've just sort of been picking things up here and there, but I actually, like, we have this huge IKEA bookshelf system for the kit in the kids, we call it the playroom.
It's got,
you know, it's full of toys and stuff, but it's cubes, and they perfectly fit vinyl, so, like, you know, kind of carved out like four of the cubes to put records in.
Yeah, I have a, you know, would like to see that on this wall behind the TV, so probably not, but maybe that wall. You know, eventually I would like to have all, because that's not all my records. That's probably like a quarter of my records.
Got some in the basement. And
they're in the attic. Yeah. And, you know, I've got, you know, a couple thousand CDs, and I've got, you know, probably 500 books, you know.
We don't all have like entire rooms like Rick Doobie that star massive. I mean, he's also got like a humongous collection of everything. So.
Yeah,
she's got a couple of rooms, but I don't have that kind of space. So yeah, my CDs are all kind of I dished the jewel cases. I got them all in you know, those kind of sort of soft cover binder things with the sleeves. So.
Yep, I got mine mostly all in sleeves, so it took up less space, and then finally I just didn't even have that space. So.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, it's definitely evolving to, you know, an interesting place where, you know, people aren't buying stuff, aren't buying, you know, except for there's obviously that kind of small group like us who, you know, who will go to shows and buy merch and who will buy vinyl, but, you know, by and large, people aren't doing that anymore. So it's interesting to see, you know, we've come basically 15 years from when we were working at Web Noise, and we were kind of, you know, looking ahead at a world like this where you could stream stuff wherever you are on a device.
Celestial jukebox.
Yeah, and it's happening. So I mean, it makes you wonder, like, you know, what's it going to look like, hell, even 5 years from now. It's going to be interesting. I mean,
Google earpiece.
Everybody's going to have gigantic... Well, it's weird, though, because then the phones are getting bigger all of a sudden. They were getting smaller. Now, like, you know, you get the iPhone 6S, which is, like, basically, you know, like a pancake.
You know, is everything heading towards that iPad shape? Like, no more laptops, no more phones.
Right.
Just you know, iPad. I don't think that's the case, but, you know, if you had to hazard a guess, it wouldn't be a stupid guess.
Yeah,
but people sure look stupid holding an iPad up at a show to take a picture.
Yeah, they do. Dorks.
Yeah. We're talking about you. Yes, you.
Yeah. Although, if you're listening to this on an iPad, hello. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Mahalo, my friends.
In terms of actual music, big year for pop.
Yep.
As it has been lately for the last bunch of years, you know, I mean, rock, you barely see it on the charts anymore.
Yep, guitar music is dead. Guitar music.
It's not dead.
No, I'm just you know, I'm sarcastically aping the talking points of the article that seems to run in at least the British press every 4 months. You know, guitar bands are dead.
Oh, those wankers. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Matt Bailey. Yeah, Matt, I'm talking to you. I certainly don't think if anything, there is indie rock, guitar music is huge.
Yeah.
And bigger than ever.
As you'll hear from my list anyways.
Yes, you like rock music.
I like
music.
The guitars.
Yeah. I liked them when they were big and everybody else liked them, and I liked them when nobody liked them, and now I continue to like them.
Yeah, we like stuff.
Yeah, we do like stuff.
Boy bands are still a thing.
It's, yeah, apparently. I guess I don't
know. Teeny boppers are probably the biggest music consumers now.
Yeah. I mean, don't have any exposure to that. But
Taylor Swift has the only platinum album this year.
She seems like a nice young woman.
No, I'm just saying. Like, but that's it's kind of amazing to think, you know, back.
And she did. She didn't let it stream on Spotify. And,
well, it was, and then she pulled everything off. But, right? Yeah.
I would be interested to hear it, but I'm certainly not going to go buy it.
I've heard some of it.
Promo me, dog.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, promo person out there. Swifties. Listening to the comp con.
My girls like the Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift and the Katy Perry and all that stuff.
The Perry, comma Katy.
They don't like One Direction, though, which is good. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it seems now like, I guess radio is still a thing, because, like, you know, people, I think for that kind of music, people will hear it on, you know, pop stations and stuff, but as well as, you know, on their phones or whatever.
Yeah, I saw a very compelling statistic at some point over the last 6 or 8 months where, you know, it was someone deflating the radio is dead argument, and I'm sure you can spin the numbers anyway, but, you know, the point they were making is, yeah, you say radio is dead, but, you know, it's still either the biggest something, you know, means of exposure,
it's
or it's got the biggest market, or what have you. You know, I wonder how long it stays free, you know, because they have that royalty exemption, you know, from paying, I can't remember, you know, it's not on, they don't pay on the master, they pay on the performance,
yeah.
Right? They don't have to play the performance royalty.
Right. Whereas streaming services do.
Yeah, though they've negotiated a, and I lost track of that pretty much 13 years ago, but, you know, the cost per streams, if you read Tricordist or anything, David Lowry, you know, those
right.
Those streams aren't,
yeah, it's,
you know,
petty, you know, it's pennies. Yeah. But actually, driving over here, I was listening to Sound Opinions podcast with Greg Kot, Jim DeRogatis, and mm-hmm. they were talking about a case where, you know, the Turtles, the old band, like, you know, Happy Together.
So Happy Together.
They sued SiriusXM for like $100 million because I guess basically no royalties are paid on anything that came out before 72 because that's when the Copyright Act kind of went back to. So, like, but anything before 72 is considered basically just
in the public domain, sort of.
So they sued in, like, L.A., New York, and somewhere else.
I saw the headline on this, but didn't read the story.
And they actually, like, have gotten decisions, I think, in L.A. and possibly in New York mm-hmm. that basically are saying that, yeah, you know, those Sirius owes them money. I mean, I'm sure it's going to get appealed and go drag on, but, like, you know, I guess for, like, you know, an oldies artist where, you know, you don't have any new revenue coming in. That's a huge...
They're not touring. You know,
If well, they do those live oldies tours, I guess, but
Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
But I think in a post-music product world,
you have to,
setting aside touring, I think that exemption for the performance royalty on radio and whatever that, you know, that potential carve-out for pre-72... all that stuff goes away because the only way the artists, you know, sort of makes money in that scenario where they're not selling flat plastic discs or flat vinyl discs, is from the performance. So, you know, that's going to be, if it happens, that would be, you know, major ground shift in the,
yeah.
in the state of the law. And, you know, who knows, that might not be the only major shift on that end. I think it's a very real possibility.
Well, and, you know, the copyright law as it is, you know, pretty archaic, and I think it would take a lot of work to get, you know, a new bill to reflect, you know, sort of the current situation. And as those guys were saying on Sound Opinions, you know, it could take, the current law took 15 years, it was passed in the 70s, it took 15 years to put together. So, like, imagine if they took 15 years, like, you know, like we were saying, like, who the hell knows what it's going to look like?
Yeah, that,
you know?
15 years is a whole...
Yeah, I mean, 15 years ago, the record industry was still making money.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was starting to lose. I guess it was sort of on the decline, but, you know, I think, you know, 97, 98 was kind of when, you know, Napster kind of emerged in 98, 99, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the shit started to hit the fan for the music industry. But
yeah, didn't they show up at Web Noise 99 with, like, the Who the F is Napster shirts? Or was that MP3.com?
Yep. Yeah.
So...
So yeah, it's weird, man. But you know, there's still lots of music to talk about. So
yeah, that's the perhaps the most interesting thing of all is that despite all of these you know, pitfalls and barriers, it seems like there's more music than ever. And
yeah,
you know, maybe that transitions back to the first part of your question is, you know, what do I see and hear? I see and hear more and more music, and it's very difficult to keep up with it all.
Just between you know, Bandcamp and, you know, SoundCloud, and, mm-hmm. you know, obviously just, you know, there's so many bands that, you know, don't have label deals. They're just self-releasing albums. They're just putting them out there.
Yeah, and it makes it a little bit more ephemeral, especially, you know, kind of like... you know, I listen to a fair amount of, like, you know, I guess they're, like, club mixes or stuff, you know, on SoundCloud. I usually, you know, the first thing I check in the morning is SoundCloud just to see, because that seems to be where, like, the day's new stuff kind of pops up first, you know, as far as, like, you know, band on Matador or a band on, you know, whatever label, you know, if I'm not in direct communication with, you know, the PR person, which, you know, nowadays is less and less likely, because they're, you know, giving their exclusives to Brooklyn Vegan or to Stereogum or whatever. So, but, you know, you might see the song pop up on SoundCloud before it goes live. All across the web, and, you know, get a chance to give it a listen before, you know, all the lamos are listening to it at Brooklyn Vegan.
Lamos!
So, yeah, and then I get, you know, push notifications from Bandcamp about new releases, which is super helpful because, you know, it's sort of like not only is when you find a band you like, you can bookmark it, you know, kind of, you know, you hit follow the band, and then that signs you up for the push release. So it's sort of, you know, when you follow a band on Bandcamp, it's sort of telling Bandcamp, okay,
I like this
hang
band.
Tight, yeah. I like this band. The next time they do something, let me know. And they do. And that's super, super helpful. So those two services are crucial to me as a music blogger when I'm actually able to sit down and music blog, which is a been challenging late this year with work, but, you know, that
music
will,
blog on your music phone.
Yeah, that'll come and go, and then I'll be back to more writing about music in the new year, I hope.
Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, there will be the usual year-end stuff, and I've got some stuff in the pipeline, but, you know.
Speaking of which, this show will air actually in a timely fashion a couple days from now. Tell us about the your sort of teaming up with
there's a couple
with some friends of ours to put on a benefit show.
There is a show, and it is on
Tuesday the 16th,
yeah. Which is a massive work thing for me. So the bait and switch on this is that I'm actually not going to be there.
What?
Unless something massive.
Because of work.
Yeah, unless we hit a home run on the 11th with this work
thing.
Oh,
right.
I'm sort of screwed.
I will be there.
Yeah, so
rocking and or rolling.
Our good friend Brian Hamill of the popular web blog Ash Gray Proclamation, you know, asked me about you know, pitching in and helping out with his what would have be his second annual Toys for Tots benefit.
Noise for Toys, I believe he calls it.
Well, his was called For All Good Kids, but then at the same time, I had been in contact with Brady Custis of the hot / up-and-coming Boston Shoegaze Band Coaches, and we had written a piece about them a couple months ago where he said, well, I'm going to do this benefit called Noise for Toys in December, raising money for Toys for Tots. And so when the time came and Brian was asking about helping out and what talent could we get, I got in touch with Brady and just basically said, guys, I think I'm going to be really busy. I can help out where I can help out, but you guys both want to do the same thing. Why don't you do it together? And so they've actually put together what I would humbly say is a shit hot rock bill with Shandoz newly announced. I mean, it was... The deal was done for months and months and months, but new signees to Car Park Records, Shandoz.
Formerly Chandeliers.
Yep. Pale Hound, very hotly tipped rock act. Coaches, and then from Western Mass, an act called Worms, who, because of the way I kept editing the show flyer, I kept putting back the same typo in over and over again. So I apologize to the Worms guys if they're listening, but
Worms.
That show is at TT the Bears in Cambridge on Tuesday, December 16th. Doors at 8. Price of admission is $10 American or one unwrapped toy. And to you unwrapped toy people, I say thank you, because that's the point. We're giving toys to kids. And I also say, if you're going to go buy one unwrapped toy,
buy two.
Why not buy two?
Yeah,
it's no skin off your back.
Cheap.
So yeah,
let's not call people names.
Make them good toys, and if you can do one, fantastic. If you can do three, fantasticer. So the toys will go almost immediately to Toys for Tots. I think we have to get them to Toys for Tots by the 18th. So Brady from Coach is...
It's almost Christmas.
Oh, yeah, it's we're right up against it. So Brady's going to take the toys we get on the 16th.
Is there a goal amount, or is, how do you quantify that?
I think you just quantify
it as... Get as much as you can.
Get as much as you can. I honestly, I don't know about the economics of the show. I don't know if Hamill's like paying for the room.
Hopefully they donated it.
I
mean, did they do that for your benefit last year?
I got like a discount.
Okay,
well, discount. I don't think anybody's ever given me the room.
That's probably what they probably got a discount and then kicked in. They probably split it or something.
Yeah, or maybe they might have just given it to him outright. But anyway, that's on Hamill.
You did that community services benefit for what, 2 years in a row?
Yeah, and I just didn't have the time this year, but community servings, we raised
services.
Yeah, well, I do it too sometimes. We raised some money for sick people in years past with a benefit for community servings, me and Lo.
Friend of the show,
of the blog,
who just became a dad. So yeah, I think he was probably busy with.
He's got a 3 or 4 month old who's super cute. So I didn't even raise the subject with him because I know he has his plate full, and there was no way I would have had to rely on him too much.
Mm.
So being able to help out with the Noise for Toys is really nice because I like to think that. I like to think that I'll have some time to be able to contribute, in some small way, to the big picture, people's well-being, and so this was an opportunity to...
You're a good egg, Breitling.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but this was, because Brian and Brady had the gumption, were able to try to do something good. So if you are in the Boston market, that's certainly something that you could do with your time on... Tuesday the 16th of December in the year 2014.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I guess before we get to our favorite music of the year, any live shows? I know you go to a lot of
this
shows.
This year it was pretty...
Ones, I guess, jumped out at you as sort of your favorites?
Yeah,
I have a few, so...
Yeah, I'm sure you saw way more shows than me this year. I didn't see that many. I certainly did enjoy the Soccer Mom record release. I mean, that was quite a show. I didn't see any, kind of big venue bands this year. I don't think... I didn't go to Paradise this year. I didn't go to... to my recollection, anyway. So, this year just wasn't a big live show year for me, which is too bad. And I would have loved to have seen the Replacements at Boston Calling, and
didn't go to that either. I kind of wish I did. It was one of those things where I philosophically objected to having to buy a 3-day pass just to see basically there were other bands that I liked that were on the bill, but
I just philosophically object with having to stand with all those people. City Hall Plaza.
Yeah.
They had big screen TVs up for the World Cup soccer, and that watching that with everybody was kind of cool. But
yeah, but that's different.
That is different.
Yeah. I mean, that night of the Replacement show and seeing people tweeting about it, and I was like, God damn it, I wish I was there. But
yeah, well, and apparently you at the when it came down to it, you didn't need the 3-day ticket.
Yeah,
because I remember Pickering saying that he was
planning. Yeah, he paid $70, I think.
Yeah, yeah, he was planning on just hanging out at Kinsale and listening or something, and then he just walked in. So
yeah, so I guess you could. I think they didn't. They expected to sell a lot more tickets, and they didn't. They had a lot of tickets left, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and there is a big... I mean, the... Not to go in depth on the festival, but it would, there was this huge storm in the middle of it one day.
Yeah.
Which, people had to evacuate.
That's right. That's so right. Yeah. Lightning storm.
Yeah. It had its share of challenges, but I think, it brought in, I don't know that we'll ever see a Boston Calling as attuned to at least my personal, and granted, there was still a lot of crap.
I was hoping the Replacements would do a regular tour on their own.
Yeah.
And
well, they're talking about a new record, count them out for a tour.
So yeah, if they play at a decent, somewhere decent around here, they're not going to play anywhere. They're not going to be pulling in, you know, garden-sized crowds. So.
No, they're, yeah, but they're not going to play at TT's either, at least.
No,
not
they'll play, like, you know, maybe the Pavilion or yeah, something like that. Or hopefully Orpheum. Hopefully not the Orpheum. I hate the Orpheum.
Yeah, Orpheum blows. But, wow. You weren't actually there, but I think the last time I was there, I had your dinosaur ticket.
Yeah, front row. It doesn't blow when you're in the front row.
Front row center.
Shit.
It was amazing, man. But...
That was what Built to Spill, and who else? There was somebody else good, too.
Meat Puppets.
Yeah. Fuck. And, I'm still pissed I missed that show.
Yeah, that show was awesome. But the unawesome thing, which I always will associate with the Orpheum, was that beers were like $11 something. I mean, it was preposterous.
So, well, the thing with the Orpheum is, like, if you can't get tickets in the first five rows of the orchestra pit, you're screwed, because everywhere else pretty much sucks in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen bands in the front row there, and I've been in the back of the hall.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just... And a lot of the bigger acts, like, you know, Neil Young will play there and charge, like, $150 a ticket or something, you know? It's just,
no,
like,
thanks,
ridiculous.
Neil.
But...
Saving my money for a Pono.
Yeah.
Not...
I'll just get a Toblerone and you know, listen to that while I eat it. Well, I did go to a fair amount of shows this year. You know, certainly not as many as I used to back in my non-kid having days.
Yes.
But, you know, I actually went to, I think I went to more shows this year than I have before. My kids are getting older, so it's not as, you know, I don't have to necessarily
You're in the zone,
be
baby.
There. You know, and, you know, I still put them, you know, I'll put them to bed or whatever and then go out. But,
yeah.
But saw speaking of the Parrot, I saw Guided by Voices there with Brian Hamill. I think it was in June. That was pretty great, and you know before their latest breakup. So it was kind of that was fun, and I certainly you know we were pre gaming across the street, and I definitely
I expect that
tied
was...
a view on that night. But that was fun. Parquet Courts and Proto Martyr.
Yeah, I bet this show
at
was awesome.
TT's, which was kick ass, and really like the eye opener for me was, as I already liked Parquet Courts, it was Proto Martyr. I mean, I'd heard a few songs, and we'll talk about them in a little while. But I mean, they were great, and you know they're blowing up this year.
Yeah,
you know as far as like a you know an unknown indie band can blow up, but. You know, in our...
Well, I'm certainly hearing their name a lot.
In our
the year-end
pop-dominated...
Are,
yeah.
Coming
yeah.
out.
And actually, they were on that episode of Sound Opinions that I was referencing earlier. They're the featured guest. They're in the studio and playing some live stuff. So, that was really great. Ty Siegel at Great Scott. I have never felt... And Great Scott's a pretty... You know, it's a pretty small... It's a bar, basically, with, like, a stage at the end of it. That place was shaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... Like, I felt the floor moving. It was ridiculous. It was an incredible show. That guy is, like, super talented. He's super prolific. You know, puts out, like... Normal years, like, some years he's put out 3 or 4 albums in a year. Like, he never stops doing stuff. But live, man. That was the first time I'd ever seen him. It was fucking incredible. One cool show was the Caspian 10th Anniversary concert.
Yeah.
They actually are from the town I live in, Beverly, Massachusetts, and they played their 10th anniversary show at this cool old theater where, like, they do they have like a magic show every weekend and stuff. And they've been starting to book bands there and like weird shows, like Gallagher 2 played there, I think, or maybe it was Gallagher 1. I think it was Gallagher 1. But like, you know,
is Gallagher 2 the fake Gallagher?
Gallagher 2 is like his son or his nephew.
There was this whole thing,
of,
I think, it, or yeah, Gallagher. I think there was like a fake Gallagher, and so there was like this like whole like.
Well, it's either his son or his nephew or something who basically does the same act, looks just like him, but he's not.
Yeah,
no, but Gallagher has to retire because he's A, old, B, nuts, and C, he's got some kind of ailment. But
yeah.
So I think it was, I don't know which one it was, but anyways, it's a cool venue. And I went with our friend Brad Searles, and actually I got a front row seat. You know, it's got seats because it's a theater.
Yeah.
But like, so we walk in. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be great. You know, I'm like right here in front, and then like people just like kind of came up and stood in front of me. I was like, well, all right. So
yeah.
So I stood up the whole show, but I was I was still right up there. It was incredible. I mean, they really, you know, they really rocked. So. You know, and obviously, you know, Caspian's an instrumental
Yeah. Band, and they had lost their bass player, so probably an emotional homecoming for them.
Yeah. You know, it was really great.
They didn't, like, physically lose him. He's dead.
Yeah, he died.
I don't want to be like...
He died...
They put him in a drawer, and they can't figure out which drawer he's in.
He died last year. But, yeah, it was a really great show. And it was, you know, it's a kind of... You know, it's a kind of show where, you know, there's no vocals, so it's kind of like, you know, you get swept up in the sound and you know, and the lights and everything, and it was you know, and they've got like three guitars. I mean, they rock.
Yeah.
It was pretty intense. So that was great. Recently, Speedy Ortiz, X-Hex, and Pyle played at Great Scott. That was a hell of a triple bill.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that, I mean, I was under the impression that X-Hex would be the headliner, but it ended up being Speedy, which was fine. But you know, they are all great, and Pyle is an excellent band. I'd seen them before. And...
News broke about the new Pyle record.
Yeah, what's earlier?
It'll be out March 3rd.
There you go.
And it's called "You're Better Than This."
they played some stuff off of it.
Yeah.
When I saw them, and yeah, they're great. Also, just saw, been going to Great Scott a lot. Yeah. I saw Sloan there a couple weeks ago.
It's pretty much the only place I go.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great to see bands there. I mean, you're just like...
I would like to go to, like, Sinclair or something. I just never get my act together.
Yeah. I mean, I went there earlier in the year, but yeah, it seems
like... Yeah, I saw Hallelujah the Hills there for a kids show, and that was
fun. Right, right. But yeah, Sloan was awesome, and they didn't have an opening band. They just played, like, for 2 hours.
And they did that before when they came to town at least once, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they can just do it.
They've got so much material now.
20 years, 4 songwriters, you can do the
math. Yeah, and their new album, you know, it was a double album where each guy, you know, wrote a side. So they played a bunch of stuff in that, but they also played...
Kiss style.
Yeah, but better. So that was great.
Actually, part of that, I think Pink Floyd style. I think Adam Hartmother was... Or one of those Amagama, one of those records is, you know, each side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, each side was written by one of the dudes in Pink Floyd.
Wow.
So, not without precedent,
Roger,
Sloan.
Hell no. But not a lot of bands doing that these days.
No.
Or doing it well. In the summertime, Titus Andronicus and a band called Liquor Store opened up for them at the Middle East Upstairs. Since the downstairs was under construction, and Titus was just doing like this weird little tour of New England, because they're actually in the middle of still working on their new album, so they kind of just did some shows, and that was great, because I was, you know, the Middle East Upstairs is, you know,
yeah, it's small.
It's like the size of your living room.
Yeah.
And,
it's like,
you know,
220 capacity or something.
Yeah, I mean, barely. And it was awesome, you know, super, you know, loud, and they were into it, and it was like basically the last show of their tour, and then they were going back in the studio, so that was fun. Saw the Afghan Whigs a couple of times, the last show, especially at the Royale with Cheese, was a lot of fun. They sound great, this was a good year for live music. And there were a lot of shows that I missed that I would have loved to have seen, but you know,
I like having
a wife and family, so I can't always
leave. Yes, you have to go home sometime.
Yeah,
there, it doesn't seem like there's any lack of bands coming through, you know. There's never really kind of like a pause.
Actually, there's a great show going on tonight.
Right now
at Great Scott. Speedy Ortiz, Bent Shapes,
Shandoz,
and somebody else.
Idiot Jeans.
Yeah.
With special guest Mean Creek.
I mean, all those bands are great.
Yeah. So that's a show and a half.
And I'm going next Friday to the... Speedy's doing a residency at Great Scott. So... Three Fridays in a row, and I'm doing next week's, and then
who's on the bill next week?
I don't even remember, but yeah, it'll be good. But yeah, I think Hamill said he's going.
It's in the blog sidebar. I just don't remember.
Clicky.
It's in there. I just don't remember.
But yeah, I mean, so going to the Noise for Toys show, and that'll be it for me for this year. But you know,
that's a pretty full year.
I got Sleater-Kinney tickets for next year. And
I'm definitely holding out for a Boston Ride show. Ride is definitely a band where I would break my embargo on going to a big, giant, expensive
show. But they're not going to play anywhere that huge.
Yeah, but, you know, they'll probably think Royale or...
Yeah, but that's not bad.
You know, whatever is bigger than Royale. You know, I think there's a lot of pent-up demand, but as of now... Pardon me. As of now, they don't have a Boston show. So,
because like the closest one is what, New like York or Toronto
or something. Yeah. That doesn't help me at all. So, but if they announce in Boston, I will do the thing that I need to do to go. And you know, I would be more excited about that than you know, the My Bloody Valentine or even, you know, the Replacements, because of that whole festival thing didn't get me off my butt either. And also, I'm sort of a you know, I'm at a point now where if I've already seen a band, I don't feel as compelled to see them again because there's other bands that I haven't seen. Yeah. Like, I never saw Ride, so I definitely, that's a priority.
You have to bring a copy of your of the comp you did.
They're aware of the comp. So, and I don't have a copy.
What?
Not a physical copy, anyway. You missed me, Mick. That Lenny or Squiggy? I just did the Lenny or the Squiggy hand motion. I think it was a Squiggy.
There is technology that would allow you to burn a copy.
So much trouble.
Yeah.
And I only have one more blank CD, I just noticed. So, yeah, then you know. Then what am I going to do?
You can't buy those things anymore.
Damn it.
They don't sell them. Well, let's get into... Before we get into our best music of the year, I think we need to replenish our beverages, so we will take a break and come right back.
Listening to Completely Conspicuous with Jay Kumar.
That was Radiator Hospital with Five and Dime and Dumb Dumb Girls with Under These Hands. Now let's close out things with another great song from 2014 from Spoon.
Do you run when it's just getting good? over and tossed them out in the street. You tiptoe for ages, but lose yourself, flipping back pages, unbuckling belts. All alone, that's the way love comes. Do you, don't you know that's the way love comes? Do you feel it black and blue?
Spoon with Do You from the album They Want My Soul. And that wraps up episode 355 of Completely Conspicuous. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you join me next time when Jay Browning and I continue our look at the year in music. In the meantime, check out BFF.fm every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific to hear my radio show Stuck in the Garage. You can check out Mixcloud.com/Coombdog to hear archived shows. The Bob Mould songs on the album Beauty and Ruin on Merge Records. You can download the song for free at KEXP. The Dumb Dumb Girl song is on the album Too True on Sub Pop. Download that song for free at SoundCloud. The Radiator Hospital song is on the self-released album Torch Song. You can download the entire album for free on Bandcamp. Jay Breitling produced the opening and closing themes of the show. Voiceover work is courtesy of James Grillion. Completely Conspicuous is a Tan God production.